Thanks the grace of the Lord for guiding us in the past 2 weeks that we are able to spend our summer of 2014 in here to attend JNYTS and as well as PMVP. And in here, we are about to mark the conclusion of this year's NYTS. And really thanks to the grace of the Lord that we have this opportunity to host this event, especially in Irvine Church, that the great facility that the local churches provide, and also their diligent work in serving every one of you. So please do remember, if it's not them, they will not be us. If they did not put in the effort, we will not have the opportunity to be here and being able to enjoy the spiritual feast. So please do show your gratitude for the kind effort from the local church. Brother Boaz, the council from the local church, to share a few words with us. But before that, there's one thing that really touched me that I heard from the local church. Do you know that in order to host this event, they have arrangement amongst the local councils that they will take turn. At least one council will be here every single day just to take care of us. They are busy. They have their own work. They have their own things to do. But for your sake, they are willing to put their things aside just to be here. So please do remember this kind of spirit of servitude. And one day, if you are in the similar situation, one day, please do remember and use the same spirit to serve the church of the Lord. Now I would like to ask Brother Boaz.
So, in the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Irvine Church, I say a few words of thanks and then some observations and just some thoughts. Thank the Lord and also the kind words from Pastor Zhou and also many of the pastors who are here. They also make this event possible. So we thank God for that and ask the Lord to remember their labors. And as you know, we will thank our own local Irvine members, on our own, but, there are also many NYTS coordinators and the counselors. They also work really hard. You don't know how much time I put into their plannings and their meetings to help you organize this event for you. So, we thank God for all of them. Okay. And also thank you for keeping Irvine in a fairly good shape, that you managed to keep our facility still intact. Thank God truly that you guys actually are one of the more disciplined group that we host here. So I praise and thank God for that. We would love to have you back here. I don't know when, but when the GA arrange you to come back here, we also receive, we ourselves also receive gratification from just observing you and also hearing your testimonies. So praise and thank God for that. And then also throughout this event, I heard a lot about encouragement, actually, particular to the, I think, brothers, that, if you have this calling to become a preacher, by all means, don't let anything stop you from going for that goal. However, I would encourage you as well, when you return back to your own local churches, before you take the leap to go into servicing the Lord, to serve the brothers and sisters. Actually, this in fact goes for the sisters too. is that you would participate and view your local church as your own church. And, you know, sometimes it may sound strange I tell you this, that, you know, look at the church, your church, as your church. You would say, why would I even say that? Is my church already? But, you know, sometimes we don't feel that it is our church. We feel that it is our pastor's church. We feel that it is our counselor's church, the council member's church, or the deacon's or the elder's church. It is a church I come to service, to have services and to worship God. But, you know, it is not my church, really, right? Because when we come, we enjoy all of the benefits of worshiping God without giving any effort sometimes. So I hope that when you return, you will actually take up the spirit of servitude and take up this zeal that you build up here and actually, in fact, use it to serve the Lord in your church. And so before you can become a preacher, you know, you should be able to teach your RE classes. You should be able to lead a very in-depth Bible study and perhaps even deliver some sermons. Right? If you cannot even do that in your own local church, in serving the Lord in this kind of capacity, and also in learning how to work together with other people, you know, how can you become a preacher? Right? So I hope that, you know, we will do this when we return to our church. So not only we enjoy the labor of other people's the fruit of other people's labor, you know, we'll also be putting into our own effort and labor as well. And so we thank God that we had the opportunity to serve you this time. We also learn a lot from you. So I thank God for the opportunity, and may the Lord continue to bless you and guide you and build up a very strong spirituality and spiritual strength within our church. Okay, so thank God.
I will give thanks to Brother Boaz and also to all the members in Irvine Church. There's one thing great that I think about Irvine Church is that when we pray, after a few days, you found out the tendency that people all try to come to the front naturally. Because the design of the chapel, so it's actually, you know, even like when it comes to prayer, I try to sneak through past by brothers and to come to the front because it's easier to pray. And sometimes in the back, you pray hard. And at the end of prayer, you are in the front anyway, right? but we really thank God, brothers and sisters in local church, you really did more than enough. They really try their very best to provide for every one of us, because I believe that they also see the future in you. So, you know, they're putting all the efforts already. Never let them down. All the effort they're putting in you, because they see in you that you shall be the great soldier for the Christ, for our Lord, for holy work, and for the church in the future. So we shall always bear in mind. We shall always bear in mind. Okay? Next, we'd like to ask our class coordinator, Pastor Ho, to say a few words.
In the name of Lord Jesus, I say a few words in this closing ceremony. 2014 BMVPM NYTS has come to the end. And hopefully this is a fruitful event for your 2014. You will still remember in the opening ceremony, we must have a goal set for these 2 weeks. And now it's 2 weeks passed. Have you ever reached your goal? Or you just come to the half? But no matter what, time is up. 2 weeks pass. So the battle is just begin. Right? because we are going back, and this is, we are going to face the real life. And hopefully, this 2014 NYTS and PMVP become a turning point of our life. More and more our youth can dedicate our life to the Lord, really follow Jesus, and be a living sacrifice to serve. So need you to serve. This is what NYTS stand for, right? Need you to serve. Go back to our church to serve as a living sacrifice with humility, with love, with what we have learned here. And together with all the member brothers and sisters, we can really make our church be prosperous and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So hopefully this year of the curriculum, we really can learn all these classes. If we pay attention to what we learn in every NYTS, every year we have a doctrine. So the doctrine for this year is Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is the source of our spiritual power. So we must continue to pray earnestly, try to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This past winter, SSC, we have a theme of a life of prayer. So many little brothers and sisters, they actually still practice the life of prayer after SSC. So a couple of the, I know some brothers and sisters, after they go back from SSC, they continue to live in the mode of SSC. So every morning, they wake up, pray first. And because right now it's in summer, so they have time. So they just read Bible, just like you have class in the morning. And then they try to listen a sermon, take note. Every day, they listen to one sermon, take note, and read Bible. Every day, they have a three prayers in the morning, in the afternoon, and during the evening. So if we can continue this life of NYTS, if we can endure for about 1 month, then you will experience how our Holy Spirit will change in our life. So it will become our lifestyle. So we learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. And also, by the doctrine, we learn a lot of books, right? We learn the Gospel of Luke. We learn the book of Ephesians. We study the book of Zechariah, the book of Numbers. We study the book of Ruth. We have intro of Old Testament. So you put all this teaching together. So after we go back, you review your note, your class's note, to see what you have learned. Because in just two weeks, you receive so many things. But we have to go back to digest it one by one. If we can really do it, then every event will become our nutrient for our spirituality. You will not just forget easily. Think about the encouragement you have heard. During the prayer section, all different brothers and sisters, they come up to share their experience, their testimony, their encouragement. All the things, if you have time not, please go back to review it. Slowly to think again what you have heard, what you can transform this kind of teachings into your own life. By doing that, our training will become very effective to transform our life. So hopefully, a few years later, we can see more and more our potential worker answer to the calling of God and to join this army to serve together. So finally, I want to turn a verse for encouragement, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, here in YTS, all these brothers and sisters, coordinators, workers, just like a surrounding crowd of witnesses. Now, we have to do our part. Set aside every weight. We may have all different kind of burdens. We may just ensnare by some sinful nature. We have to rely on Jesus, look on Jesus, follow him, and he will give us overcome, give us victory. So we can really continue on this journey and to the end, and all work together to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. May all the glory and the thanks to God, to Lord Jesus, and may God bless us so we can continue to live a life of victory. Thank God.
I'll give thanks to Pastor Ho. Let's turn to a verse. Huh? Let's turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. I think here it says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Huh? So after these 2 weeks, I believe that we are all strengthened in truth. After these 2 weeks, through prayers, I believe that we also know already what is right, what is wrong. We have this recognition of the mission that the Lord bestowed in our life, and we have this determination to change and transform into a new being. But in here it says, though you know, I still need to remind you again and again. So, brothers and sisters, after these 2 weeks, please do be reminded the real challenge begins today. You might think that you are strong, establishing faith. You might feel you make a new determination, but with all this wonderful determination that you made, please form a strong and close bond to one another, because you need your pal, your peer, your buddy to remind you over and over as well. Okay? And now we would like to ask the students to share some of their reflections. First, we'd like to ask the first year, Kevin Cho.
Hallelujah, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I give a reflection. As all of you know, this is my first year at NYTS, so I didn't really know what to expect coming in. Before I came in, I felt very empty inside, and that emptiness was because I constantly tried to pursue after the world and not after God. And I'm currently a rising junior in my college, and I participate in a lot of volunteer activities, volunteer services, and break trips and retreats, so I experienced a lot of group sharings, but I've never felt edified before, ever, in any of those group sharings. For example, some guy in one of the retreats opened up to the group and said that he was going through depression, and he needed some time to discover himself, but the best the group could ever offer him was their sympathies, and after the sharing was over, everybody left. But here at NMITS, during every single group sharing and during every single team sharing, I always felt that I earned something. I always felt edified by something that someone said, because what we talked about pertained to our spiritual life, and that was what I was lacking the most. Speaking of service, I did a lot of volunteering around the Philadelphia area, but I never felt that I accomplished much with my own two hands. And listening to Brother Liu Yang's testimony, as well as Brother Samuel Kuo's reflections overseas, I learned that no matter how hard you worked with your own two hands without God's blessing, then your achievement will be very, very limited. However, if God is working with you, you will be able to play the hardest violin pieces effortlessly with minimal practice. You'll be saved before running into a nest of fire ants, and you'll be cured from life-threatening tumors. But in order to follow God, I learned that it required a lot of prayer. And I remember the first time I prayed at NYTS, I was sitting over there, and within 3 minutes, I looked up and said, God, this is too hard. I can't do this. My knees feel like they're shattering. And I felt this way because I had no sense of urgency. I didn't feel like I needed to repent. I didn't feel like I needed to pray to God about something. And that very night, I was locked out of my room at 3 a.m. after I went to the bathroom. And then I immediately started praying. I said, God, please forgive me. I'll repent. I'll pray harder tomorrow. Don't let me sleep with the cars. And so the next day when I was praying, God showed me one of those green prayer mats, and my knees felt so much better. And from then on, I was able to get a lot closer to God through prayer and through repentance. My goal this NYTS was to learn to follow God and not the world. And I feel like the world is always trying to force me to conform to its ideals, and that it hates me when I don't do it, and I feel so ostracized and alone. But in John 15, verses 18 to 19, Jesus tells us that if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Brothers and sisters, I hope when we leave today, the real test of faith begins, and the world with all its temptations and tribulations is merciless. But with Christ and each other, we can overcome anything. May all the praise and glory be unto God's name.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I give a short reflection. So when I look back to these past 2 weeks, I could really see the guidance of God. So the past year was full of change and a lot of ups and downs for me. But after reflecting, I realized how much God was with me this entire time. I also realized that I did not truly rely on God during this past year. When I would meet difficult situations, I would rely on myself and try to do things by myself. And when I would try to do things my own way instead of God's way. But during this NYTS, God has really taught me to rely on Him and to not do things by myself. I learned to surrender everything to God and to let Him lead. So while I was preparing for my graduating sermon, I would often get stuck and I wouldn't know what to do. So I started praying to God for wisdom, and I realized the more I prayed, the more I was able to write. So then I realized that without prayer, without God, I would not be able to complete it by myself. So a couple of days before I had to give my graduating sermon, I got sick. So when I woke up on Thursday morning, I pretty much had no voice, and I could only speak a couple sentences before coughing. And I was thinking that I would be coughing throughout my entire sermon. So I prayed to God to at least be able to get through those 20 minutes without coughing, and hopefully it could edify others and glorify God. So thank God when the sermon started, I stopped coughing, and I was able to go through the entire thing. But the moment I finished, I started coughing again. So over the past week, we studied the book of Numbers during morning Bible sharing, and over and over again, we can see how the Israelites sinned and how they complained to God. And even after they're punished by God, they still return to their old ways. So they're stuck in this constant cycle of sin. So a lot of times we look down on the foolishness of the Israelites. But that if you think about it, we're sometimes just like the Israelites. Someone once told me that we're spiritually like rechargeable batteries. We rely on these seminars like NYTS to recharge, and every year we return to just recharge. But if you think about it, we can't really rely on these seminars to build up our faith, because rechargeable batteries one day will also die. So we should take this opportunity at NYTS to determine to change our lives and not to just recharge our faith. And if we only treat NYTS as an opportunity to just recharge our spiritual battery, then we'll be stuck in this constant cycle of sin, just like the Israelites. So during one of our group sharings, one of the questions was, what does it take to follow Jesus? And many people in my group gave different answers, like it takes motivation, it takes strength, and it takes sacrifice. And someone said it takes pretty much everything you have to follow Jesus, but it's completely worth it. So when we go home, let's determine to follow after Jesus and not fall back into this constant cycle of sin. So finally, let's turn to a verse. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So let's make this one of our goals after NYTS, to put God in the center of everything we do, and no matter what we do, do it with all our hearts, and do it for the Lord. Thank God, this concludes my sharing, and may all the glory be unto his holy name.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak a few words. So before we get to my reflection, I was asked to do some advertising for PMUP to encourage people to come. I think you heard a little bit from my classmates yesterday, but I'll just, sum up and add a few things and my own thoughts about PMUP. So I think first, probably some of you will be glad to hear that in PMUP there are no tests. And there's not a whole lot of homework, right? So if I had to describe it in a word, I would say it's independent. In PMVP, your time is very much your own. So because you spend like 8 hours a day with your classmates, during meal times and stuff, we generally don't sit too much together, and we'll go out, I think we tried to talk to other people. So yeah. And then that leads me to the second point, which is it's a smaller and more intimate group. And so during classes, it's very much discussion-based, and you get to interrupt the pastors and ask questions, right? I remember we were joking about this with one of the pastors, that you suffer through four years of NYTS to earn the right to talk during PMVP. So there's that. And as for class content, it's very much more practical. I think we learned a lot of things about how to serve, like strategies for evangelism, basic counseling, and hermeneutics and homiletics, which is studying the Bible and giving a sermon. So it's very much teaching us, giving us the equipment we need to be able to serve in the church, right? And if you're a sister and you come to PMVP, you can keep Amanda company. So, yeah. So then, for my own reflection, I think when we all come here, there's a question that we're asked, right? And it's asked basically every year whenever there's an event. And that question is, why did you come here? Or why did I come here? Why did we all come here? A lot of us come here to gain something, to repent, to draw closer to God, renew our relationship with him. But we can examine the question from a different perspective. And that question is, why did God bring you here? What did he want you to get out of it? And what did he want you to learn? And for myself, I think there were, during these 2 weeks, there were three lessons. Well, not really, they weren't really new. It was more of a reminder, or three things that God wanted me to determine in my life when I go back. And so I'd like to share these three things with you. The first one is prayer, to always pray. And I remember that when I was at home, my sister, she shared a quote with me. And that quote was something along the lines of, when life gets too hard to stand, right, we kneel. But I think for us, we can take it a step farther. Because to me, that says that, you know, in tough times, we pray, right? But for us, prayer is a way of life. And prayer defines who we are as a Christian. So to us, prayer should be so deeply ingrained that, you know, we can't live without it. And we know, because we've heard all throughout these 2 weeks, all the testimonies and all the encouragements from the pastors that we need to pray. Because without prayer, we won't have power and we won't have strength. So when we go back, let us all determine to live a life of prayer. The second is to determine to obey for me. I remember sharing that this past summer, when my parents were at Taiwan and it was just me and my sister, we had to split the chores, right? To take care of the house and things like that. And there was one day when my sister did not do her share of the chores, and then I got annoyed at her. And I was just thinking, you know, how come? Why didn't you do it? And, you know, you're supposed to know, right? Because you're a part of the family, and it's what we do to show our love to each other. And it's just right, right? And I think for us as Christians, obedience, it takes faith, it takes courage, but also our obedience is not passive. We don't just do something because someone tells us to do it. For God, we should seek to understand His will for us and proactively pursue to go and do what He wants, not just because someone tells us to do it, but because we know that we love God and these are the things that we can do to please Him. And then thirdly is service, to determine to serve Him. This morning for PMVP, we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then in the first verse, it says, I charge you, right, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the word. And I don't know. When I read these verses now, after these 2 weeks, it feels like there's a fire, right, burning in my heart, that I desire to really go out and serve Him. And I think during PMVP, we heard a lot of testimonies about how serving the Lord can really help your spirituality grow and flourish and take it to the next level. So I hope that all of us can have this determination to even to start small, right, from our local churches. We don't have to go for Africa right away, but really have the heart to serve our fellow brothers and sisters in church and to serve Jesus. And lastly, I think I'd like to leave everybody with a verse. So let's turn to Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. It reads, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There was a sister in our class that shared something that I think really stuck with me, and that is that to us, right, as we walk with God and continue to grow in our spirituality, we have this light on our path. But it's not a spotlight. You know, we don't get to see miles and miles ahead of us. And that keeps us near to him because he is the one who guides our steps so that every step we take, we are close to him, clinging to him and relying on him, because without him, we will not know the way to go, right? And so as we go back to our lives, let us determine to pray, to obey, and to serve him. And every day, we look to him for guidance and do not go on our own way. And may all the honor and glory be unto God's name. Amen.
Okay. Next, we would like to ask a counselor to say a reflection. For your information, in the future, if you have the opportunity to become also serve as a counselor, for your information, that the new one, the first time counselor, get to pick to share the reflection. Just like, you know, that you have a newborn and you sacrifice him. So you know what? Don't be surprised in the future when you become a counselor the first time. Yes, you'll be asked to do it. Huh? Okay, Brian?
In the name of Lord Jesus, I share this reflection. So when I agreed to be a counselor for NYTS, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Even in Canada, I wasn't fully sure what the counselors did other than make red marks on my exams. Not that they didn't do anything, but most of the time I wasn't paying attention to them. So when I came to NYTS, I expected it to be just like any other NYTS, but maybe with different responsibilities and less homework. But quite honestly, as soon as I got here, it felt like I was hitting a brick wall. Throughout the first week, many of you had been asking me how my first time as a counselor was going. And depending on the day of the week, my answer was different. But one thing was for sure, that this experience was a real eye-opener. To start off with, as the first few days progressed, I realized I kept running into more questions than answers. How much time should I spend praying, marking, and hovering over my groups? What am I doing here? How do I counsel people who seem to have better spirituality and more deeper biblical understanding than I do? How do I get people to get out of the washrooms on time? But as the days went by, the answers became very clear. I had to rely on God more humbly and deeper than I ever have. I realized that none of my skills could help me through here. All I could do was submit humbly as an instrument of his, just a mere hammer or a mere wrench. And then when I started to do that, things started to get a lot better. I know now that God has led me to NYTS as a counselor to teach me how to serve, how to balance my time between serving my fellow brethren, my own spiritual cultivation, and the nitty-gritty details of paperwork and the administrative details. I learned that it's not a juggling act of three different balls, but it's actually all three balls stuck together working as one. And that most importantly, it was all about learning how to let God work through me. And I feel that it's a way of God training me for daily serving in my local church. This year I was chosen to be a financial affairs officer for my church. And I've been having a lot of trouble with all the different duties. And coming to NYTS, I realized now that this was a very good training for me that God has provided. So I hope that you can seriously consider being an NYTS counselor one day as well. It's as much as a practicum class in serving your local church. The hymn really is true. The more that I served him this week, the more that I surrendered to him, the sweeter his joy became. To watch each one of you grow closer to God and to know that I had nothing to do with it, but it's all just the work of our great and loving God, that is a far greater joy than anything I have ever found. Some of you just might know this already, but this is also my bachelor trip. For those of you who don't know about it, please close your mouths now, jaws now. And I had actually, for my bachelor trip, I had actually considered whether to spend it going scuba diving in Cancun. But honestly, the joy that I found here in watching the work of God in you is far greater than any sea turtle. The submission, just learning how to submit to God was far greater effect on me than any submersion. Cancun might have better photos, but serving and learning with you here has a lot better memories. So lastly, I would like to share a verse with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for you are our glory and joy. So I would like to thank every one of you for sharing your joy in the Lord with us this week as counselors. May all the glory and thanks be unto his name.
Thank you, Brother Brian. And also thanks to all the counselors. It's getting harder and harder to find counselors nowadays for all the church events. Because as you all know, you grow older, there are more obligations of life. You might want to come, you might want to help, but they're just, sometimes it's just difficult. So I really, with all my heart, give thanks to all the counselors who are able to take their time to serve and to make this event memorable for all the students. And hopefully that I will be able to see you more often every year in all the summer events, and all the students as well, that hopefully that you can also demonstrate your growth in the Lord, that you can also have this honor to be there to serve the younger generation in the future. And thank God this year we have 18 graduating from NYTS. This is a large group, 18 students graduating from NYTS, and also we have 2 students graduating from PMVP. Now we would like to ask them to come to the front, and we would like to ask Pastor Liang to present the certificate. Can you two decide? Kai Bai Bo. We will ask the senior minister to present their certificate of graduation. Please, students.
真的是是是道歉。